Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Neil Eclipse and Baker Psychic Hour. We are here, yes, a little bit later than our normal time, 10 o'clock. It is here in California, so I guess it's 1 on the East Coast. What am I doing? I'm sorry, I'm multitasking, which I'm not good at. I'm trying to share our show to our pages, which I've done, so now I'm focused. Okay, so we do have a caller in the queue, 850. We're going to be getting to you momentarily, but we want to let others know how to reach us today. 914-338-0164 is the phone number. Do press 1 if you'd like to speak with us. And you may join us on Facebook and on Twitter. I'm sorry, X, Force of Habit. You know, they're still saying Twitter in other shows when they're announcing how to get in touch. So I'm not the only one that makes that error, but it's actually X, formerly known as Twitter. So you may follow us there as well as here on Blog Talk Radio. Also, if you aren't able to make the show, you can listen to us or can't listen to the whole show. You can listen to our show in Blog Talk Radio archives or anywhere that podcasts are available. So Alexa, Apple Music or Apple Podcasts, and many other podcast sites. So we are on Apple Podcasts, which is a nice place to have our show. So there's a lot of listeners there. Let's get to our caller, though. 850. Hello.
Hello. It's Michelle from Florida.
Hi, Michelle.
Hey. I wanted to give you a validation.
Okay, 10-17-68, right?
10-14-68.
Why did I do that again? I thought it was 10-14, and then I looked back, and I have 10-17.
That's funny.
No, I've got to correct that. So 10-14. Okay. Oh, no. You know what? It's the wrong Michelle. That's why. I looked at there's another Michelle from Florida. And she's born similar, 10-17, you're 10-14, but same name. Anyway, but I know the difference between you two. So go ahead with what you wanted to say.
Okay. Well, I don't know if y'all remember when y'all talked to me last, but anyway, we was talking about my sister and her charges. She had 3 charges on the animal cruelty and acting as a veterinarian and the drug charges. The drug charges and acting as a veterinarian got dropped, and they held the animal cruelty, which is absolutely ridiculous. Her attorney even said that, you know, she's innocent. But anyways, they kept the animal cruelty on her. They said that the cat's pain was greater than the pain it was already in. I'm like, that's crazy. We've seen an x-ray of the cat's back. It was a completely broken half. And she tried to save it. 2 kids brought her the cat and tried to save it. It makes you not want to help save a cat anymore. But anyways, just long story short, she tried to save it. And by doing so, so anyways, she's got to be faced with her sentencing hearing in April the 24th. But the other 2 charges got dropped, and the attorney said he was going to appeal it. And then there was something else I was going to tell you to validate is your husband told me about take some potassium. I mean, some bananas.
And bananas?
Sure enough, and I was really, really tired, and my my platelets were low, and my iron was low, and my folate was low.
So your potassium was low?
No, it was all low. My potassium, my iron, and my folate, and my platelets were low, so anemic. I don't know why I was anemic. I have no clue. Mm. But
anyways,
I wanted to vouch.
Obviously, yeah, it's good.
Yeah, but I just wanted to do those two validations with you.
That's what we said, that she would get the animal cruelty charge. And what I think is going to happen with the sentencing, I think she's probably going to get community service, probably a lot of it. But, I mean, it's to jail
her. I hope you're right, because she did not deserve this, you know?
Well, I mean, we have to look at what she did in terms of helping the animal. And if, let's just put it in perspective. Yes, we understand she was trying to help the animal, but unfortunately she performed surgery on the animal, which is not legal because she's not a licensed veterinarian, even though she's a nurse.
I know.
So if everyone started to perform surgery on animals because they wanted to help animals, we would have a mess. So there has to be laws. There has to be laws. And, you know, it's just, you know, whether you're a nurse or a doctor and, help, you know, or a dentist, and you come across an animal that's injured, and you think because you have, you know, medical qualifications that are for humans, it doesn't mean that you can go ahead and operate on an animal, and then we'd have everybody operating on animals, and it'd be out of control. So there has to be strict standards and punishments if people don't follow the rules. So she probably should have helped the animal by bringing it into a rescue or contacting a rescue.
Well, the problem was she didn't every place was closed. It was on a Sunday. So then that Monday, she wanted to save it. And that Monday she went and took it to the veterinarian, and that's when they turned her in.
So
it
sounds like if the animal's back was broken, it wasn't going to, the animal wouldn't have survived anyway. So it came out in court that the animal had broken. I don't like calling animals.
And they said it's sphincter muscle. They said, it was kind of crazy. They said the sphincter muscle was still closed. So the cat still felt pain, even though the back was broken. And it was its foot that she did surgery on. But anyways, it's just kind of horrible, horrific, really. But I did have a question for you. But I just thought I'd give you an update on that.
Sure. What's your question?
Well, I went to a gas station the other day, and I thought, I got out of my daughter's house, and I noticed that when I went to go get, I went to go buy some okra at the restaurant, and my money was gone. I only had $2 in my pocket. I was like, well, maybe I dropped some out of my pocket. And I got to adding it up. Even if I dropped $10 or $5, it still wouldn't have added up to me only having $2 in my pocket. I should have gotten $18 back at the gas station. So I went back to my daughter's house. I couldn't find the money anywhere. And I went back to the gas station, and I went to confront her about it. I said, I don't want to accuse you or anything. I said, I can't find it. I said, I've only got $2. And she just went off on me. And she, what is it, $18 that you're short? Here. And she threw it at me. And she's like, I ain't got time for this. You came in here, you accused me. I said, hey, I just wanted to talk to you. I don't know what I did with it because it's still coming up short. And I believe what she did was is because she was talking to me. She gave me back she kept the $18 and was supposed to give it to me, and because the drink costed $2. So she gave me $2 instead of giving me $18.
She was distracted by talking to you.
And so I'm like, was she distracted or was she really stealing from me?
Well.
But she was really hateful. Oh, my God, she was hateful. And she's so moody to everybody that comes in there.
So you know her. You're a regular there.
Yeah, I'm a regular there, and I was like, oh my God, she was a bitch to me this morning.
No, it's just some gas station attendant. I mean, a gas station cashier, right? And so you're a regular at the store. You're a regular at the store. So the question is, was it because you two were talking and she just accidentally gave you the wrong change back, or did she try to steal from you?
Right, yeah, because she was really hateful, and I'm like, okay, this girl on drugs, because everyone says how hateful she is, and she really is, and it's like, oh, my God. And I says, I'm just trying to talk to you that it could have been a simple little mistake when I talked to her this morning, and she would not hear it. She's like, I know how to run I know how to run a cash register or something like that. I mean, she was just really hateful.
My first vibe was that she was stealing from you. But I'm confused. I'm not sure, because if you're a regular there, I don't know if she'd do that.
No, I think she realized when you approached her, she had made a mistake.
Yeah, that's true.
And so what she did was, instead of admitting to the mistake, she thought in her mind, oh, God, I made a mistake. So I'll give her, I would have gotten away with it. I would have just left it. But because there's a problem here, I'm going to give it back to her without admitting that I made a mistake, so we're clean. Because I'm not going to admit that I made a mistake.
She would have kept
I don't think she intentionally kept it. I think she realized I made a mistake.
But she would have kept it.
She would have kept it.
She would have kept it.
She wouldn't have given it back to you. But because you said it, she just gave in and said, well, I'm wrong. But you see, she didn't want to admit it, so she went another place where she just said, okay, you want to hear, I'm having a bad, but then it amounts to the fact that she took it.
Yeah, but she is so moody.
You've been going there for years, and you've never had a problem with her.
Nope.
And I don't think her business is run on trying to take money from people. I think she made a mistake. I think she realized while you were talking to her, she could have said, oh, you're right, I'm so sorry. But because of the way she is, her disposition, she couldn't get herself to go that honest route, so she just made it seem like she was doing you a favor.
Yeah.
As far as
she
your
was
daughter,
so hateful. I'm like, damn.
About your daughter.
I know.
Daughter.
As far as your as far as your sister's concerned with the dog, with the cat.
Yeah.
There's a problem. She could get 6 months in jail, but what we're going to do is we're going to sway. Is she represented by an attorney?
Public defender, right?
Yes, a public attorney.
Okay, so what we're going to do?
She's innocent.
Well, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. She committed a crime.
She's not innocent because she performed surgery on the animal.
It's regardless.
Yeah, I mean, she admitted it.
It's not a matter of her being innocent. She did it. It doesn't matter what she thinks she is. So what I'm getting is 6 months.
I know what you're sorry.
The vibe I'm getting is 6 months. So what we're going to do is we're going to turn that into community service because of the fact that it wasn't done maliciously, and she's not like collecting animals. It was done on the spur of the moment. It was a Sunday. The judge will say, regardless, it's against the law. She shouldn't be doing that. She's got to be reprimanded. I'll agree to 6 months community service.
No, I think it'll be more than 6 months.
It might.
Service.
You know, we'll start there. But if we didn't do anything, she would have gotten 6 months in jail automatically. But I think we can avoid that.
She's in what state? Arkansas?
Tennessee.
What I wanted to say, though, is I know what you're saying. She wasn't trying to be cruel to the animal. So you're saying, in effect, she's not guilty of animal cruelty. What she was doing was trying to help the animal. But
right.
Her intentions were not, like Neil said, malicious. They weren't. However, you just can't operate on an animal because you want to help it and save it. And the animal would have, you never answered. The animal would have succumbed anyway because its back was broken, according to the vet. The spinnaker or whatever.
Oh, yeah, I've seen the I looked at the x-ray. The cat's back was broken half. So, I mean, she was trying to save the leg, so she was trying to keep stop the bleeding of the cat, you know?
Right.
And every place was closed. It was a Sunday, you know?
But,
yeah, you know,
and I guess with her being a nurse, she went ahead and took it upon herself, you know?
Well, now she'll know
how to do that.
It's a
difficult position. You know, back in the pioneer days, that would have worked.
Right. It's different,
though. And, you know, if you find a cat drowning in the river, you can rescue it. You won't be arrested. But what she did was she went beyond the line and she performed surgery. And it's not the pioneer days. We have rules and regulations now. So the judge has to respect that. The state has to respect that and uphold it. Like Kristen said, or we all are going to be doing operations. And, you know, and back in the old days, on a barn, the farmer did everything.
Well, that's what she said on the last show. Her family, you know, they lived on a farm and they would fix animals. But it's just not, you know, this is not the day and age we're living in here.
What we're trying to avoid is a six-month jail term, which I see in the picture. I think
well,
we can erase.
I
think we can erase it by energy and swaying the judge to say, okay, then community service. But she won't get off scotch free, I don't think.
Well, no, I don't think so either, because she's committed a crime. She has to have some kind of punishment for it. But the actual the first offense is a misdemeanor. So it depends on, in Tennessee, I just looked it up. The first offense is a misdemeanor. Yes, you can get jail time for a misdemeanor. And in fact,
it doesn't say,
I can't really go through this that quickly and find it. But I did find that, like, if you're a repeat offender, you get up to 6 years, which is interesting.
That's six.
There.
But she's not a repeat. She's a nurse.
No.
I think she'll get community service. That 6 months may be translated into hours.
I think so. She might.
Yeah, it's really been horrible. I feel so bad for her. She called me this morning and wanted to know if I had money to get her storage. I mean, she's homeless. Me and my husband are trying to build her a camper trailer because who knows how long it's going to take for her to get out of this. But everything in her storage got sold on an auction today. I was going to put it on my credit card, but then that was going to throw me in a hole, you know?
Yeah. I mean,
It got sold anyways. And the lady at the storage unit.
Was it above or below 400?
It was, how much did it sell for?
Yeah. Her storage.
It sold for $260.
Oh, so it was below 400.
Yeah. I was going to try to help her, but that was going to stick me out, but somebody already bought it. And I called the storage place, and they said that more than likely the people are not going to want, they got 48 hours to come pick it up. They're not going to want her personal stuff, so maybe they'll let her keep her personal stuff.
Here's what we do, Michelle. It was $140 less than what I thought. But you're born on the 14th. So there's a 1-4. So what you want to do to help your sister out right now, she's homeless, she's in a mess. But focus on her only having to do community service right now, because they're trying to avoid any sort of jail time. That wouldn't be good. And we make it a community service. Now, I want to ask you really a quick question. And when you were a child, did you ever play jacks? You know, you roll the dice and you pick up the jacks?
Oh, yeah. You rolled it and it's like these little things with spikes on it. Yeah.
Yeah.
You played that?
Yeah.
Yes, I sure did. Were you close to your sister then?
Huh?
Were you close to your sister at that time?
I guess. It's hard for me to remember. I barely remember it. I was not close to her in growing up years with the kids and all that. And since this has happened to her, I've gotten closer to her.
I see. Does your sister have any missing teeth?
Yes.
Okay, you sound
reluctant.
She had to think.
Now define how you know she does. Where's her missing teeth?
All her teeth are gone. She has dentures.
Oh. Okay. Well, did she ever have a drug problem?
Yes, I think she did. Pot, and I think she might have been doing crack at one time.
Okay.
That's when I wouldn't let my kids go over there.
Okay, so that's all I need to know. Okay, we're going to put out that she just does community time. It's just something else that came in I had to work through. So we'll put out energy that she just does community time, and but focus on, you know, just put out your own Michelle vibe. That's what we're focusing on, since that was your call.
Okay. All right.
Anything else?
No, I just wanted to give you that validation about, you know, her court hearings, that two of the charges got dropped and one of them stuck. And of course, he told me that taking the bananas and my potassium was low, and that's why I was so tired. I thought y'all would like hearing that. You know, your validations were really good, you know.
Good. And are you just, I mean, as far as the other deficiencies, are you, how are you supplementing to get
your blood? Well, I haven't been to the doctor since I got the blood work back. I haven't been to the doctor. We got to review it at the doctor, but I went ahead and started taking a multivitamin that had the folate in it and the iron in it, and to try to get it back up.
Yeah.
But I'm still real tired. But it's better than it was since I started taking the vitamin. I think it takes a while to recuperate.
Yeah.
And I've put on all this damn weight since I quit smoking, and I'm just all tore up over it. And, you know, I don't know. Did the quit smoking make my iron go low and stuff? I don't know. It's really weird. But I put on all this weight, and I'm not really eating that much. So I went to a vitamin store yesterday and got some vitamins that's supposed to help you lose weight.
Well, be careful with those.
I mean, I'm a pretty active person, but not like I used to. I used to unload.
Your metabolism, I mean, nicotine speeds up your metabolism. So obviously there's going to be a dip in your metabolism if you quit smoking, but things should get, you know, renormalized. How long has it been since you stopped smoking?
January the 7th.
Yeah, I thought like 3 months. So about that. And well, it's really, yeah, we're all coming up on 3 months in April. So give your body,
it's like, I'm ready to start smoking again if I keep on putting on this weight.
No, and good for you for quitting. It's hard to quit smoking. It's hard to quit any vice.
Oh, my gosh.
So,
yes,
but,
is.
You know, eat healthy, and get advice from your doctor about what to do about the blood work. I mean, iron, you know, iron supplements are cheap. You want to, if you're low in iron, you want to supplement. You know, you want more than a multivitamin, because a multivitamin isn't going to give you enough iron. But the other things, you definitely need to discuss with your doctor. And you can discuss the metabolism issue, too.
I already tried to discuss it with her, and she's like, your BMI is not at the right level, so they won't give me a diet pill. I'm like, this is crazy.
Right, you have to be
I am so much bigger. You got to be a certain weight before they'll give you a diet pill. And I'm like, what? Putting on weight is not good for me, having rheumatoid arthritis, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Diet-wise,
so
maybe, what is your diet like? What do you eat?
Well, I pretty much eat chicken and fish. And so I kind of got rid of all the red meats because of my rheumatoid. But since my iron went low, I better go get me a hamburger and eat me a hamburger, you know. So it's not always good to eat all just chicken and fish. So I guess I needed some of that red meat, you know?
Yeah, I mean, there's
so, I eat healthy. I eat healthy. I eat nuts when I'm hungry. And
yeah, I mean, you know, I don't know. Red meat, my iron levels are fine, and I'm a vegetarian. So I think it depends on your, your own personal genetic makeup and
what do you take for iron?
What do I, I don't take iron. I don't take any iron supplement. I just eat what I eat, but my iron isn't low, I don't think. But, you know, that's what, I just think that some people are going to be more prone to anemia than others.
Yeah, and of course my sister is anemia too, because when I was up there she wasn't taking care of herself. I made her go to the hospital. She ended up having to have 2 blood transfusions. I was like, oh my God, I hope I'm not going to be the next one, you know?
Yeah, sometimes they have to do that if you're really anemic. Yeah,
it might be hereditary
in your family. Exactly. But definitely, when you talk to your doctor, ask what she suggests for a healthier diet. You know, you want to eat like high fiber, low fat, and then supplement with things like for your iron. But anyway.
Oh.
Well.
It's stressful.
Yeah, but you'll get through it. And good luck with your sister.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I just wanted to cry the other day. I got so depressed I couldn't button my pants. I was like, oh my God, I'm about ready to start smoking cigarettes. I'm like, I'm not a drug user and I've never done cocaine. I'm like, maybe I need to go out and go get me some cocaine to lose weight.
No, that's probably not a good idea.
I mean, I got so
depressed.
I know.
That's probably not a good idea.
I was just saying that.
Plus, it's so expensive.
I know. I was just saying that.
Actually, I don't know where you are. You're in Florida? You're in Florida. It might be cheaper.
Yeah.
I don't know. Cheaper, you know. Anyway, enough about that.
I was cutting up. You know, I would never do that. I was just cutting up. But I was just saying I was desperate. I was like, oh, my gosh, you know.
Yeah, well, maybe walking. Do you walk?
Yeah, that's what I was. I'm looking at a track right now in town. I was like, I'm fixing to get out and walk around that track.
Yeah, you should probably just walk, get some integrate some light exercise if it's okayed by your doctor, because we can't, you know, tell you what to do medically, and I don't want to recommend exercise if that's something your doctor doesn't recommend, but ask her what type of exercise. But I would think light walking would be okay and things like that. But you definitely need to consult with your doctor about your deficiencies and get retested.
Yeah, I will.
Okay.
Well, thank you guys so much. I love talking to you guys.
Oh, thanks. We like talking to you too.
Yeah, thanks for calling.
Yeah, you're always so respectful and we appreciate that.
Oh,
nice.
Thank you. Thank you. You guys are awesome.
Okay. Thank you. Take care.
You take care too. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, as a vegetarian, though, my vitamin D is always low. Always. Yours is low, but mine's low. Lower. Maybe I'm going to end up with rickets. Isn't that what they used to get in the olden days?
Well, you and I could be called dumb and dumber.
What?
Vitamin D.
I know, but rickets. I'm asking you about rickets. Did they have that around when you were a kid? Rickets.
Rickets, I don't know the guy.
Rickets. Rickets. You get rickets from low vitamin D.
Yeah, I know.
But didn't, is that before
extreme.
Your times?
Yeah, no, time? No, I heard about
people
that.
Had rickets then? I mean, because I think probably like in the, 1800s, maybe it was more common. People immigrating to the United States, they get, vitamin deficient traveling on a boat, on a continental journey and get sick. So it was more common then. Anyway.
Well,
but I don't have rickets.
Sentimental journey.
I don't have rickets. Sentimental journey.
But
this is one of my favorites. I love that.
No, I mean, you know, sometimes it's due to a diet. Sometimes we manufacture our own deficiencies, just internal.
Or manufacture our own excesses, like cholesterol.
Yeah. It all depends on kind of the body is a complex system of present and past lives. So on a current stage, we look at hereditary issues. And on a psychic stage, we look at karmic issues, everything is somewhat karmic anyways, because we're descendants of some original coupling somewhere, unless the seeds just disperse and there were variations. You know, how variations occurred is somewhat bizarre, but if we're all descendants from an original male and an original female, how these variants occurred in our culture, in our society, is kind of mind-boggling. Unless you consider that there were variations or something, that or mutations, or I mean, how is it possible?
Well, I mean, in Michelle's case, I mean, it probably her rheumatoid arthritis is, I would imagine, hereditary. Usually. Autoimmune diseases run in families. Not always, but a lot of times they do.
Yeah, Lionel Barrymore.
And then I think that can make you gain weight too, rheumatoid arthritis.
Barrymore, the actor, famous actor.
Yeah, what about him?
Had terrible, terrible arthritis.
Rheumatoid?
Rheumatoid arthritis.
Because that's,
wheelchair.
Because it damages your heart.
He's a great actor, but back then they only had heavy drugs to.
It can make you gain weight. Rheumatoid arthritis can also make you lose weight. It just depends, I guess. Anyway.
So, I mean, from. You know, from Michelle's reading, we get into the idea of what is our connection to wildlife and what penalties do we pay if we interact with wildlife in such a way that we're trying to benefit it. Now, there are famous nature photographers who will photograph wildlife, and some of them are pretty objective. And so if an animal is in danger, they'll just keep filming and let nature happen.
Which,
they don't intervene.
Right.
Now, if a nature photographer is filming a rude animal encounter and he steps away from his camera and shoos off the predator, can he be arrested for disturbing the natural process of life and thereby maybe averting an accident? You know, the situation, there's a fine line between chasing a predator away from an innocent animal or a vegetarian animal or something and performing surgery on an animal. Now, there are people who rescue birds and they bring them into their home and they raise wild birds, sparrows and crows, and the bird becomes a tamed creature and lives, cohabitates with the humans, and that's it.
Right.
They don't get arrested.
Oh, yes. Recently, sorry to interrupt your train of thought, but a man was arrested in New York for having an alligator, I think? Crocodile? Alligator? Uh-huh. Anyway, huge. Yeah, but he had a permit for it for years and years, and then they changed the rules, and he was unable to get the permit renewed because no one would return his calls from the, I mean, it was all this bureaucratic bullshit, essentially, that did not allow him to renew his permit for the animal who he raised from a baby. It was abandoned. And he had built his own, complex with a pool. Yeah. And it's very sad. I mean, this animal was taken care of very well by this man and happy. And I'm not saying that you should... I'm not saying it's right in most situations to have a wild animal captive, but in this situation, I believe it was the wrong decision to take the crocodile or whatever it was, alligator, crocodile, away. you push an alligator away from the man? I think it was the wrong decision. Wrong decision.
After so many years, it's
30 years.
Ridiculous.
30 years.
I mean, you know, they might say that the, you know, an alligator is a predator and it's lethal, but so can a pit bull.
Right.
And, you know, pit bulls aren't.
Right. In this case, not everybody should have an alligator, crocodile, whatever the animal was. But in this case, yes, wrong decision.
You know, people have bulls that can kill. They have.
Horses can
kill.
Horses can kill you if they kick you. I mean, you know, a lot of animals can kill. What? Go ahead.
When I was a kid, my cousin had piranha.
Piranha?
And he had a fish tank with two piranha in it. And they became outlawed. But he'd feed the piranha, go fish and stuff. I couldn't watch it. I didn't watch it. But he had two piranha.
Why do you keep saying it?
Piranha. Piranha is a mean cat, but piranha is a fish. And some people have, cougars and bobcats and all kinds of things. Ferrets used to be popular. I'd walk on the beach in Oregon and people were holding ferrets.
Yeah, a lot of people, ferrets, they say, make really good pets. But what I was going to say is about what happened? What did you say that made me forget what I was going to say?
Parrots and
piranhas.
And then, you know, people had pet raccoons. So they did a movie about a pet raccoon. I think it was Billy Mummy or somebody, wasn't it? Ron Howard, somebody. But, so
we have a caller. Jennifer.
From the veterinarian.
No, it's just Jennifer. I don't remember what I was going to say, but it was, I wanted to say it. Thought escaped me. Hi, Jennifer.
Hello. You can't remember anything? You've got Kraft disease?
What?
Do you have Kraft disease?
Crab disease?
Kraft.
Crap disease, yeah. I can vouch for that. She does have crap disease.
I got it from you. What can you spell what you're trying to say?
C-R-A-F-T.
Crasp disease. What is it? It's a
My grandpa used to say that he had it. It's when you can't remember an effing thing.
Well, it is not a real word.
Nope.
But
okay.
It is
weird. What's your question? It does pertain to animals. It's relevant.
Well, you can ask anything you want. Anything you want.
Okay.
But anyway.
A lot of my, not necessarily my friends, but people I know, have been telling me that they don't like their dogs. Their dogs are jerks, and it seems to be the bane of their existence. I'm wondering, is it possible that they are just the wrong owner for that pet?
Well, yeah, I would think so.
And it's not the dog, it's them?
Well, I mean, it would be, you'd give us an example of, like, give us an example. Sounds like there's several to choose from, but.
Yeah, I've got one friend you've spoken to her before. She got a puppy, I think it was, you know, her dog died. And she asked me for advice all the time. I said, don't get another dog right away. So she went and got another dog right away. And it was a puppy, and it tears everything up, and she's got it at training classes. It doesn't listen. It doesn't behave. It's high maintenance, you know, gets sick, that sort of thing. But I feel like certain pets don't resonate with the owner, and I think you can give it a good college try for a year, and maybe, you know, you just gently find someone who maybe is better suited to that animal. Yeah.
Well,
you don't dump it or anything.
I mean, I think the same thing you could say for children. You know, you have a child and the child, you know, has difficulties following directions, cries a lot, gets into trouble when, you know, the child gets a little bit older. But a parent generally is committed to that child for life. So my feeling about that is...
Yes and no. Okay, here's the fallacy with that.
Okay.
Is that there are quite a number of parents who end up, you know,
shipping their
children with the grandparents or whatever.
Yeah, I know. And they ship them off to boarding school.
Those kids end up growing up and being yeah. okay because it really was the wrong parent for that kid. And the grandparents raised them fine and they end up being okay. Bad relationship, of course, the biological parent. But it's harder with a child, of course. But I can't, and it's not like they're not trying. They're doing everything. Like they go to training. I don't think that they really explore the idea that maybe they're just not a good fit for that animal.
I mean, it's possible that there may be a better fit for that animal. There may be, but you know, it's possible that the behavioral problems are completely the animal's response. I mean, not the person's responsibility. That's just how the animal is. And I mean, I can give you a perfect example. Olive, you know, is kind of like the perfect cat. Perfect. Perfect. We have had nothing but ease with her. She's very well adjusted, despite the fact that she was, you know, living under a tree when we found her, very afraid of animals. Callie, on the other hand, did a 180 once we brought her in and has been a big challenge. And I mean, literally has nearly ripped my face off. I mean, she literally, if I didn't have glasses on, hadn't moved, I would have been, my eyes might have been clawed out. My face, you know, could have been totally permanently scarred. So there have been incidents with her where it's been like, what is going on with this cat? But it's just time and commitment. So sometimes I think, and she has improved, and she is very loving, actually. I mean, she has a very loving, sweet side. But, you know, had I given up on her, Neil given up on her in these crisis moments, you know, we wouldn't have been able to see her improve and develop into a more secure cat that doesn't have these outbursts. I mean, she's very emotional. I mean, she's just, Olive and her are totally different cats. But have there been times when I'm like, she needs to go to a vet. We need to put her on an antidepressant, something, because this is not normal behavior. She runs from us and we try to feed her. But I think the commitment of time, the animal knowing that you're committed to that animal changes the dynamic so the animal can improve. I mean, there are vicious animals out there, yes. I'm not saying you adopt a vicious animal, but I mean, in the case of your friend,
it's a few. Yeah.
Well, you, in the case of the friend that, of the example that you gave, I mean, you didn't give the example
okay.
of your friends. So in the case of the example that you gave of your friend, I would say, well, I mean, you know, what is her time commitment with the animal? How much time does she spend?
Oh, tons, like tons.
Tons. I mean, is she at home? I mean, does she work from home? Does
yeah,
she work out?
Like retired, you know, as at home, like 24/7, basically.
And how long has she had the dog?
Probably 6 months, maybe 6-7
yeah,
months.
Yeah, I mean, not enough time to really assess. 6 months is not enough time to assess whether the dog is a good fit. I don't think. Do you, Neil?
No, I agree with you. I, you know, it probably take about a year to know for sure.
Yeah,
but
I mean,
it's different when it's a puppy.
Right, and it's how old is he? Just 6 months old, or?
Yes. Yeah. Well, I don't know. Like, they got it as a puppy. Both people got their dogs as a puppy. I got my dog as they were just going to give it up. So, but it was already a year old, so it already had developed its personality, and it was a good fit.
What I see online so frequently are people saying, well, you know, I got to move, so I can't take my cat with me. I've had her for 3 years, or, you know, my dog, you know, we're having a baby, and so we just can't take care of our dog anymore. And people don't realize the commitment that they make to animals is a lifelong commitment. If you're going to get an animal, you're committed to caring for that animal until that animal's life is over. And it's an expense. People don't think about the expenses. I mean, an animal can get really sick. We just had a client who lost an animal, 3-year-old dog. I mean, their bill is like $10,000 at the vet for all the emergency care they had. So, I mean, it's very expensive. It's like a child, obviously not as expensive as a child, but it's really, really heartbreaking to see all these animals carted around from home to home to home because people that are taking them in don't make the commitments that they should and that they don't have the maturity to do it, just like people have kids and they don't have the maturity to do it. But people get animals because right. They're cute puppies. They grow into bigger dogs. They like huskies are, I mean, notorious for getting adopted or, you know, sent back to the pound because they're so high maintenance, or people don't have the right home environment for that type of dog because you need a lot of space. They need to be walked all the time. I mean, it's really tragic. So I say, do whatever you can to make it work with that pet. That's what I think. Neil, Neil right now is spoon feeding the cat. Realistically, really. I'm serious. She's right now doing this thing where all she'll only eat if you spoon feed her. I mean, it's like, it's a huge time commitment. And taking her outside on a leash and sitting with her outside, huge time commitment. But I would never think of giving her up. But Neil, do you want to comment? I'll trade you and feed her while you talk.
Yeah. So ultimately, your question or you're seeking an answer to, because I was distracted with the cat. So you were your ultimate question or quest for an answer.
Certain animals maybe are better suited to other owners. So, you know, someone chooses a kitten or a puppy and their personalities aren't quite developed yet. So maybe there's not a personality fit between the two people.
Yes, time has developed. We've changed our format with animals. Originally, animals, wild dogs, would come to the prehistoric cavemen and seek food by the fire. They would throw the food out. And ultimately, it wasn't an arrangement of desire. It was just somebody decided to throw some meat to a dog, and the dog became somewhat domesticated, probably always somewhat wild, but at some point there developed a relationship between man and dog, woman and dog. And it wasn't about what's suitable. It was just about that there seemed to be an alliance that worked, a codependent relationship. As we developed over time, the old cartoons would be, the thin lady had the Suzuki and the guy with the cigar had the bulldog, and we suited our dogs to the way we looked as time evolved. And so the dog and the human were basically typically structured in fashion. Then we got to a point where, diverse dogs, they're pit bulls, and we use dogs for farming and camping and hunting and or just for companionship. And so it's become so diverse that the true definition that the original position of a dog and a human forming a co-alliance where basically the dog assisted in hunting and some probably companionship. We don't know how much comfort the caveman gave them, but it now turned into a different domesticated attitude. Now we even have dog tournaments and dog shows and all kinds of things. So to say that there's a general rule that anyone is suited to a dog would be like saying, well, this man can only marry this woman, or this religion can only be with this religion. So I don't think there's a general rule, Jennifer, but if you want to open up the bigger, thicker book and say, is there a karmic connection between humans and animals? Are we associating with the dog because of karma, something deep in time, and it goes beyond the parameters of our physicality? That could be. So I think the essence of, if, like Kristen was saying, if you have a dog or an animal of any kind, you're responsible for the life of that animal. And it's your responsibility.
In the past, though, I don't know if it's certain cultures, but or historically, the animal chose its owner. Like you said, people were out, you know, around a campfire. The dog came up, and you know, would gravitate towards a certain person. Maybe people, it would be more successful if that were done as more of
that's sort of the romanticism of humans and animals. You know, the cats choose us because they thought our home was going to be a place for them to seek shelter and food and comfort? Or was there some kind of karmic element going on? Or was it just standard, haphazard set of circumstances? You know, we have a belief in animals that goes way back. The Egyptians had their animals, not to mention cats, and they would assist them in the underworld. The Chinese had their dogs. We seem to have a bond of some kind, but any animal that is domesticated or feels like it needs shelter, they're conditioned. Here in California, there's a section on a three-legged coyote, who's a wild coyote, and he's only got three legs. And people have been feeding him, and he's become quite a legend in 29 Palms, California. And he's become quite a legend now because people are feeding him, and now they're worried that ultimately this coyote is going to end up biting somebody or getting hit by a car. But the coyote has learned to accept the idea that with its only three legs, human beings are keeping it alive, and it seems to be in good health. So is that a conditioning? You know, we can condition a wild animal to start to trust us. I used to feed a feral cat when I lived in Thousand Oaks. I used to feed a feral cat that the original owner said, the cat won't let you get near it. It just comes for its food and it runs away. Well, I took over the home and started feeding the cat, and within a month, the cat was purring and rubbing against me, but he never did with the owner, who loved the cat, but never could touch it, never touched it. Well, and the cat was big. It was intimidating.
Getting off track.
But no, it isn't. No, yeah. It isn't getting off track.
We have 4 minutes.
So the idea of, you know, whether an animal is suited to a person has a lot to do with the constitution of the person. The acceptance of the person, you know, and there's something beyond just rational thinking. There's something magical about our relationship with animals, I think.
Well, I mean, in the case that you're speaking of, you're saying that the previous owner loved the cat, but the cat wouldn't get near him. But had he not left, the responsibility would have been on him to feed the animal, and there may not have been ever any close relationship between that cat and that owner. When you came and started feeding the cat, you took over his job, and the cat did become bonded with you. So Yes. I mean, obviously personalities can be, you know, animal personalities can work better with different human personalities. But I think it still goes back to the fact when you take ownership of an animal, you are committed. If you're an ethical person, you stay committed, unless, you know, the dog mauls your children or something, or there's some outstanding event that would otherwise prevent you from keeping the dog or cat or whatever other animal it is. I think that it's better to honor your commitment to that animal till its dying day. That's what I think.
See, and I disagree with you, because I do, like, I think if I've got a dog and it clearly hates my guts, and I've given it the college try, and, you know, my cousin and that dog get along super well, I'd say, hey, you know what, do you want my dog? It seems to like you a lot more than it likes me. It's a win-win. I don't think you have to.
That's different, though. You've got a home lined up for the dog, someone who's going to care for it. But when that's a different situation. So if there's a better personality fit with someone who wants the animal that you feel like you're not bonded to or whatever, and you can be assured that the animal is going to be well cared for, then I think that's a different situation than getting on the internet and trying to pass your animal off to anyone who will take it, which often results in, you know, animals being used in dog fights, animals going to shelters and being euthanized. There's so many yeah. animals without homes.
I mean,
so
there's a guy who raised pit bulls, and he was feeding the pit bulls, and they attacked him.
No, it was his wife. You know, it was his girlfriend that raised the pit bulls. They're both responsible. She was the one. And there was, like, what, 13 dogs on the property in this little small parcel in Compton. I mean, I thought, you know what? Good. Good. You deserve it. You deserve it for putting animals in that condition, breeding them to be vicious.
But
anyway,
the point is,
disgusting.
And then there's, you know, a couple have a dog, like a Chihuahua. We know a couple have a Chihuahua. And the Chihuahua will only let one person handle them and growls at the other one. So there's a possession of ownership. It could be your scent. It could be your vibration you're putting out. But you're right, Jennifer. Some animals aren't suited to some people, and it's not. It's just a matter of animal chemistry.
If you have but in your situation, no, I don't think it's wrong if you give the dog to your cousin. I don't think that's wrong.
No.
I think if you gave the dog to a shelter, it's another story.
Well, yeah, I get what you're saying, because, like, it depends. Because my cat stayed at PetSmart with the Humane Society. It was there. It was a beautiful cat, 5 months. They were surprised no one took that cat. And then when I got the cat, I knew, because it's my, like, that cat was meant for me. And with my dog, is the kids had actually picked out another dog first, but they decided they didn't want to give it up. So, but those people that had my dog, they weren't going to give it to anybody. They said, you know what, we'd like you to have it after all, because they just didn't trust the people coming to look at the dog. So you have to do it with a good conscience and make sure that the dog's going to be well cared for, the cat's going to be well cared for. So.
Right.
But I don't think you need to be stuck for your entire life with a dog or a cat or a pet that's incompatible with you.
Well, I mean, it's a fine line. Like I said, you know, there are moments with our cat that have been very difficult and challenging, and other people would have said, you know what, we're done. We're taking the cat to the pound, period. And that's not a decision we made, or it wasn't even in our consciousness. It's like, how can we help this cat? And mm-hmm. we're very bonded to her. So I think when you take on the responsibility of picking out a dog or a cat, we didn't pick out either of these cats there. We rescued them off the street, essentially. I just think that you've got to be aware of the commitment you're making. You're making a commitment. So when you choose a dog, choose carefully. Choose very carefully.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay. All right. Well, that was an interesting conversation. But... we are back on the air for more interesting conversation on Friday. at, I think, 9 on Friday. So we will be back. Hopefully we'll be able to do some more readings at that time. Psychic readings would be great. Okay. Talk to you soon, everyone. Bye-bye.